We begin today Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach learning Perek Kol HaBosar, which speaks about primarily the halacha of bos b'cholov. We know that one may not mix meat and dairy. The Torah says three times lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imoy, and as we're going to learn in our Perek, that comes to teach us that there's an issur bishul, one may not cook meat and milk together, there's an issur achila, one may not eat meat and milk together, and there's an issur hanah, one may not benefit from a mixture of meat and milk. So the Mishnah begins with the words kol habasar, asul vashabat cholav, one may not cook meat and milk. The Rishonim asked the question that in the Prokim that we have been learning, the Mishnah has always taught us that the halacha applies bechulim and megdashim and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. Our Mishnah doesn't make any such statement, and the question is why. And the Rishonim answer, because our Mishnah uses a much more powerful wording. Our Mishnah says kol habasar, and by saying the word kol habasar, all of those halachas that we've learned in the previous Prokim are included. Of course, the question therefore asked the Rishonim, if so, why does our Mishnah use this powerful wording kol habasar, which we're saying is so all-encompassing, whereas in the previous Mishnahs we didn't use such wording? So the Mefarshim explained, because the halacha of kol of bas b'cholav is a chiddush, here the meat alone is mutter, the cholav alone is mutter, only when they're combined are they asur. And furthermore, as we've been learning, there's also an issur bishul and there's an issur hanah, and therefore to show this difference, the Mishnah uses this wording of kol habasar. The Mishnah uses the words kol habasar asul vash b'cholav. The Mishnah speaks about cooking. And Farshim and the Rishonim point out as well, why did the Mishnah focus on the cooking? And I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that, of course, the Mishnah doesn't only mean cooking. The Mishnah means eating as well. But since, as we quoted, the wording of the pasuk is lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imoy, so the Mishnah wants to use the same wording as does the Torah. Another pshat is that the issur achila will be discussed later in our Mishnah. So now our Mishnah is focused on the cooking. But then, there's an interesting pshat that the Mefarshim suggests according to the Rambam. As we're going to learn, a very big part of understanding our Mishnah and understanding our Shia today is to understand that the Issur Bas B'cholov is not limited to meat, but includes poultry as well, oifos. But the Rambam, interestingly, says that according to the way we paskin, that bas oif b'cholov is only the Rabbanan. The Issur is only an Issur Achila, not an Issur Bishul. And according to that pshat, when our Mishnah says when our Mishnah speaks about basar bishul, it means strictly achila, because our Mishnah, as we're going to learn, is not only speaking about regular meat, but it's also speaking about oif v'chaya, which according to the Rambam, there's only an issur achila, not an issur bishul, and according to the Rambam, therefore our Mishnah, when it says kol habasar osul vash b'cholav, it means strictly achila and not bishul. Although I did see that there are achrayim that explain that even the Rambam will agree that even though we're going to be learning that basar oif is only b'cholav, is only with the Rabbanan, and therefore the Rambam says it's only achila that's also not bishul, it makes a difference what kind of bishul is being done. If the bishul is strictly just a bishul, then indeed the Rambam says that it's not osur by oif. But if the bishul is letzorech achila, then the Rambam will agree that even by oif, it's osur to cook poultry and milk. Chutz, ribos adog v'chagovim. Our Mishnah clearly teaches us that the meat of fish and of grasshoppers is not in the category of meat. Vos l'halos imagvina v'sholchen. They may not be even put. You may not put meat and milk on the same table. Here too the Mefarshim discuss, why does our Mishnah focus only on cheese and not on milk? And there are a Krainim, the Aruch HaShulchan, for example, who says because the halacha that we're learning now, that because of the Isser of Bas B'Cholov, one can't put meat and milk on the same table, is strictly by cheese, not by milk. And the reason is, because since milk is a liquid, and therefore it always has to be kept in a container, the concern that one will come to mix meat and milk doesn't apply by milk. It only applies by cheese, where cheese is something that could obviously be kept, except that could be kept not in a container, and it could come in contact, in direct contact with the meat. There are achroinim that say just the opposite. That certainly milk, which is liquidy and can easily spill on the meat, is also to be kept on the same table. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that even cheese, which is a solid, may not be kept on the same table as meat. There are others that say, and this will be, that the reason the Mishnah speaks about cheese and not about milk is because, as we're learning now, as we just learned a moment ago, the Mishnah taught us that this halach is only by meat or by poultry, but it doesn't apply by fish or by grasshoppers. And there are, the Beis Yosef, however, says that one may not mix milk and fish, not because of the Isra Bas B'Cholov, but because it represents a sakana. But there are those that say that the Beis Yosef is strictly speaking about milk. And therefore, our Mishnah, that's differentiating between meat and poultry versus fish, speaks strictly about cheese, because cheese may be mixed with fish, but milk may not be mixed with fish. Drama, based on the opinion of many Rishonim, says that our minig is that we do mix fish and all dairy products. Our Mishnah represents a unique situation where, because we're not allowed to eat fish, because we're not allowed to eat meat and milk together, teaches us our Mishnah, they may not even be put on the same table. And the Pesach can point out that this is unique. All other places where food may not be eaten, we don't have this halacha that we can't put it on the table even. The one exception the Pesach can say is Chametz and Pesach. And they explain, why are we so strict about Bas B'Cholov? For as we said earlier, Bas B'Cholov represents a chiddush. The basar alone is mutter, the cholov alone is mutter, it's the combination that's asur. Similarly, chametz, which all year round we eat, and on Pesach we don't eat, so that's why we have to be concerned that we shouldn't come to make a mistake, and that's why Chazal said that Bas B'Cholov may not be kept, that's why chametz may not be kept on the same table as non-chametz food. And in fact, I saw the Pesachim go a step further in indicating that we're going to learn in our Perek and our Shulchan Aruch Paskins that under certain circumstances we can have meat and milk on the same table if there's a heker or other such circumstances, but those circumstances do not apply, they say, by chametz. Chametz is even more stringent than Basar B'Cholov. The Pesachim, however, do make an interesting point, that even though we're learning that by most Isurim they can be kept on the same table, there is a halacha, however, that if the Isur is not obvious, in other words, let's say we have a piece of non-kosher meat, where it's not obvious that this piece of meat is non-kosher, there the halacha is that it cannot be put on the table, because we're concerned that chas v'sholem somebody will come to eat it. Bas lahalos gevina mal shulchan, chutz mibas adogim chagavim, except by fish and by grasshoppers, which are not considered meat. And therefore says the Mishnah, hanoidim in a basar, if somebody makes a neder not to eat meat, mutar bas adogim chagavim, he may eat fish or grasshoppers. Fish and grasshoppers are not halachically considered meat. And furthermore, not only are they not halachically considered meat, but as we will see clearly in the Gemara, when it comes to nedarim we follow Losh B'nei Adam, we follow the wording that people use. And when people speak about meat, they clearly don't mean fish or grasshoppers. So our Mishnah, that excludes fish and grasshoppers and nothing else, seems to clearly hold that oif, that you can't have poultry together with milk. Ha'oif, asum adaraisa. It seems clearly that our Mishnah holds that you can't mix poultry with milk. Kaman, whose opinion does that represent, says the Gemara? The like Rabbi Kiva. It certainly doesn't represent the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva, because if we're going to learn Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Homer, Chayiv Oif, Einam in a Torah. He says the Isser of Chayiv and Oif are not Osa Medaraisa. The Rishonim already point out that if Chayiv Oif have the same halacha, why does our Mishnah always speak about the Chayiv, but why does the Gemara always focus on the oif, not about the chaya? So I saw two explanations. Tosfos already makes this point, and I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation that the Rishonim suggest is because the oif is much more common. It's much more common to eat fish, to eat poultry, than to eat chaya meat. So that's why the Gemara keeps on focusing on oif. Another teretz, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that even if there's a man that holds that oif is not osam midaraisa, but chaya is osam midaraisa. So when our Gemara is saying that even oif is osir, that's a bigger chiddush. We're trying to say that our Mishnah holds that even oif is osir. It's a bigger chiddush, and that's why the Gemara focuses on the bigger chiddush. Says the Gemara, Eima Sefer. So now let's continue learning the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Hanoida min habasar muta habasar dog mechagom. The son makes a nether that he won't have any benefit from meat. Not included in that nether would be the dog mechagom, fish or grasshoppers. Ha'oif, clearly our Mishnah seems to indicate that he would not, if he made a nether from Basar, he would not be allowed to have poultry either. Whose opinion does that represent, says the Gemara? Also on Rekiva, that seems to follow the opinion of Rekiva. The Omar, anything that is remotely considered in that category, and we'll explain this more in a moment, Bamanehu is considered part of that category. That's not. To explain, the Mishnah says in Masecht Nedarim, Hanoida min hayerek, if somebody makes a nether that he won't benefit from vegetables. So the opinion of the Chum is mutav deluhim, he may have pumpkin. And there are two explanations I saw why. One is because yerek means a vegetable that could be eaten raw, and pumpkin cannot be eaten raw. So the Chum say he only meant the vegetable that's edible raw. Another shot is because there are two types of things that grow from the ground. There's yerek and there's pre-hadoma. Pumpkins fall into the category of pre-hadoma, but they don't fall into the category of yerek, and therefore the Chum say that's not what he meant. Rekiva says he may not have yerek, he may not have gluon either. Although the Rishonim point out that even according to Rekiva, who takes the stricter opinion, Rekiva will agree that malchus is not given if somebody had gluon. And I saw a number of explanations why. One is because even Rekiva, who takes the strict view, as we're going to be learning in the Gemara, agrees that it's only a suffix. Because it's only a suffix, that's why Rabbi Kiva would agree that malchus is not given. Another explanation is because it falls into the category of a hasra suffix. We can't definitively warn the person that what he's doing is wrong, and therefore if it's a hasra suffix, Rabbi Kiva agrees we don't give malchus. Or another pshat is that the entire pshat according to Rekiva is only, this entire psak, this entire chumrah is only midrabanan. And since it's only midrabanan, Rabbi Kiva will, of course, not give malchus. But why does Rabbi Kiva take this strict opinion? Amar Rabbi Kiva, they said to Rabbi Kiva, I'm an Adam Meshlucha, Kachwan Yerek, if somebody tells somebody to buy vegetables on their half, and if he comes back, he says, I only found pumpkins, because obviously he doesn't buy it, because pumpkin is clearly not in the category of vegetables. So the Kiva turns around to the Chachamim and says to the Chachamim, what you're using as a kasha to me is actually the basis of my opinion. If somebody is sent to the store to buy vegetables, and he'll only find beans, so he knows that that's not what was asked for, and he won't even come back. But if he finds pumpkin, he may not buy the pumpkin immediately, because he's not quite sure if that's what the person wants, but he's going to come back and at least report that I found pumpkin. So we see, says Rabbi Kiva, that the luim are in the family of yerek, at least to some degree. Similarly, in our Mishnah, el shad luim b'chlal yerek, ben kitnis b'chlal yerek. Similarly, in our Mishnah, if somebody is sent to the store to buy meat, if he finds only fish, he won't come back and say, I didn't find fish, I found meat. But he will come back if he found poultry and say, I didn't find meat, but I found poultry. And therefore, when somebody makes a nether from basur, poultry is included. So that is Rabbi Kiva's opinion. So ask the Gemara. So what we have now is that the ratio that says poultry is also because of basur b'cholov represents the opinion of the Rabbana. And the Sefer that says that poultry is in the family of meat for the Dorim follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi He. The Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi. V'nasa le'el v'tanoi. And Rabbi chose which Tana to agree with. Bin the Dorim, and Hilchas the Dorim, Sovelok Rabbi Kiva, he agrees with Rabbi Kiva that it's in the same family. It's enough in the same family. Poultry is enough in the same family as meat. That if you make the nether from meat, poultry should also be also. Because the Shliach will ask you if he doesn't find meat, should I get the poultry? B'basar b'cholov, as far as the question of basar b'cholov, there he agrees with the Rabbanan that not only is basar oif asur, basar behem asur, but even basar oif. Ravashi has a different way of explaining. Ravashi says, kula Rabbi Kiva hi. The entire Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Vacha kama. And this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol basar asur v'asher b'cholov. All meat may not be cooked with meat. Mehen midivrei Torah. However, sometimes that is an issur d'oraisa, or mehen midivrei soferim, and sometimes it's asur midrabanan. Chutz midog v'chagavim. Except when we speak about poultry and grasshoppers, they're there, shein olam midivrei Torah v'olam midivrei soferim, it's not asur midoraisa nor midrabanan. Basal halus, so we learned that we can't put on the same table meat, regular meat, nor poultry, or any other meat besides fish and grasshoppers on the same table as dairy. Amar Rabbi Yosef, so when we learned the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yosef, it seems, Shmamina, the way to understand the Mishnah, is that the opinion of our Mishnah is that basa oif b'cholov, the isser of poultry and meat, is the raisa. For says Rabbi Yosef, this out the diet of the Rabbanim, if we're going to say that it's only asur midrabanan, let's understand the Mishnah. Achila gufa gzeira. The entire halacha of eating meat, poultry and meat, you're going to say is poultry and milk is only midrabanan. V'anan nigza halacha achila. So should we be so strict and say that not only may not they be eaten together, they can't even be put on the same table? If the entire isra achila is only an isra midrabanan, then how could Chazal go so far with it and say that it's also even to be put on the same table. It would be a gzeira l'gzeira. And we know that even when Chazal make gzeiras, they don't make gzeira l'gzeira. Ask the Gemara, Menot Temra, Dua Gazrina l'gzeira l'gzeira. And as the Rishonim explain, the Gemara's question here is not, how do we know that we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira? Throughout Shas, we know that the halacha is that Chazal make gzeiras, but they don't make gzeira l'gzeira. Because as we learned so many times, Asu mishmeres l'mishmerti, make a protection to my Torah, v'lo mishmeres l'mishmeres, but not a gzeira l'gzeira, not a gzeira to protect the Rabbanim. So certainly the halacha is that there's no reason to make a gzeira l'gzeira, and we all know that. However, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question is as follows. Many times when the Gemara asks the question, it's a gzeira l'gzeira, and if it's a gzeira l'gzeira, we don't make gzeira l'gzeira. So the Gemara many times answers the question, kula chad gzeira. It's all one gzeira. So now, says the Rishonim, but the Gemara's question now is to try to find a way of understanding when do we consider something a gzeira l'gzeira, and when do we say it's kula chad gzeira? Says the Gemara, melado tam dwa gzrin gzeira l'gzeira. That's not, because the Mishnah says chalas chutz laretz. And a word of introduction: we know that when somebody makes a dough, he has to remove from it challah. The chiyuv to remove challah in Eretz Yisrael is a chiyuv deraisa. The chiyuv to remove challah from the dough in Chutz Laretz is only midrabanan. In fact, it's interesting to point out that the Rishonim ask why specifically did Chazal make a gzeira on challah, on challah Chutz Laretz? Why didn't they make a gzeira on truma and maestris as well? Also in Chutz Laretz. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz, the Chiddush, the Bala Itta says that the chiv of taking chal in Chutz Laretz is not everywhere in Chutz Laretz. The Bala Itta says the chiv of taking chal in Chutz Laretz is only in the countries right next to Yisrael, where there indeed there's also a chiv to take Trumas and Maisis. But of course that's not the accepted shita. The accepted shita is that the chiv of chal is everywhere in Chutz Laretz. And the reason I saw is, one reason is because challah, the trumas and maestris are obvious mitzvahs atloyus baretz. They apply to the grain that grows from the ground. Therefore, everybody understands the mitzvahs atloyus baretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Challah, which although technically is a mitzvah atloyus baretz, the person who sees and understands the mitzvah challah doesn't look at it as a mitzvah atloyus baretz. He looks at it as a chayvus aguf, that when I make a dough, I have to take off challah. And therefore, to avoid people from making an error and believing that even mitzvahs that are not tluyas baretz don't apply in chutz laretz, Chazal said that challah should be removed from a dough, even a chutz laretz. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that there is a situation where a dough that starts off in Chutz Laretz, or grain that starts off in Chutz Laretz, is mechuyev in challah in Eretz Yisrael. Because the halacha is that, let's say somebody brings wheat, grain, from Chutz Laretz and makes a dough in Eretz Yisrael, since he made the dough in Eretz Yisrael, he's mechuyev to take off challah midaraisa. So there can be a situation where we start off with grain from Chutz Laretz, where there's a chiyev daraisa to take challah. Whereas if we have fruits that grew in Chutz Laretz, and then those fruits are taken to Yisrael, there still will not be a chiv deraisa to take off trumas and maaseris. And that's why Chazal were more machmer by chalas Chutz Laretz than they were regarding truma and maaser Chutz Laretz. So the Mishnah says chalas Chutz Laretz, na chalas and mazar al mashulchan. Even though we're being strict that we have to take off challah, they could be eaten on the same table of with a zar, unlike the challah at Yisrael that cannot be eaten on the same table with a zar, the nedanis will call kohen shiyirtza, and any kohen can you could give it to any kohen. So the way the Rishonim explain this is as follows: the halacha is that chalas etz Yisrael may only be given to a kohen chaver. to a kohen who's careful about tumah tahara. And if there is no such kohen available, then we don't give. Then we let the challah, we put it away, and we know it means going to waste. However, challah chutz l'aretz, given that it's only the rabbanon, it could be given to a kohen who's an am aretz. But here we have a machlokes rishonim when we may give it to a kohen am aretz. Rashi's opinion is we could give it l'chatchila to a kohen am aretz. Taisa says we only could give it to a kohen am aretz if there is no kohen talmud chacham available, or if the kohen talmud chacham has enough truma meis challah, and then he doesn't need it. Then the halacha is, since this is only chalas chutz l'aretz, it may be given to am aretz. Actually, I saw that the Paiskim used this concept that we learned here to teach us a very interesting halacha. The halacha is, of course, we have to give tzedakah to poor people, we have to be mevaka chayvim people who need it, but there's always a precedence given to talmidei chachamim. However, from here we see that when is the precedence given to talmid chachamim? When the talmid chachamim needs it as much as the am haaretz needs it. So there we go to the talmid chachamim first. But in a situation where the talmid chachamim doesn't need this service and the am haaretz does need the service, then we go to the am haaretz. Interestingly to note that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that chalas chutz l'aretz can be given to a kohen who went to the mikvah, or to a kohen who's a katan that's young that never became tameh. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says that the meaning is that we burn even chalas chutz l'aretz, and the reason the Pais can explain the basis of the opinion of the Ramah, one is because we don't have clear yichus who are really kahanim. Another explanation is that people will come to make an error to believe that you could be lenient with chalas chutz l'aretz. People will not realize the difference between a kohen katan and an adult. And that's why Chazal were, the Ramah says, amenig is to burn even chalas chutz l'aretz. So what do we see from here? That when something is awesome with the Rabbana, we don't say it may not be put on the same table with other food. So if our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yosef holds, that you're not allowed to put poultry on the same table as milk, it must be because our Mishnah holds that poultry with milk is also Madura Raisa. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, your proof is not a proof. Because, says Rabbi Yosef, if you would have told us about that halacha that you can't put chalav chutz l'aretz on in Eretz Yisrael on the same table, where there's a reason to be ikla mitzvah mishum chalav aretz the raisa, where we could be concerned that you're going to have a problem with chalav the raisa, even though Rishonim point out the Rashba that b'zman hazeh there is no chiv chalav even in Eretz Yisrael with the raisa, because the pasuk says voyi kiviyachem only when all of us are in Eretz Yisrael is there a chiv chalav. But Rashba says, since challah is in the same category as truma and meiser, which do apply even when not all of Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael, challah is, that's why we're makbir on challah in Eretz Yisrael. The Lord Gazrinim. And even if that would be the case, that somebody brought challah chutz l'aretz Eretz Yisrael, that loch would be that you could put on the same table, ikil mishmanei, that would be a good raya, that when it's the Rabbanim, we don't make such a far gzeira. El chutz l'aretz, mishum delek l'mitzahu. The only reason we're lenient is because we can never have challah d'oraisa in chutz l'aretz. Because as the Rishonim explained, you're not allowed to remove the challah of Eretz Yisrael, never allowed to move it to chutz l'aretz. Aval, hocha, in our situation, I osu l'suke gvina oifa gvina, if somebody's going to come to put poultry and milk on the same table, osla suki basa gvina, then you're going to chas v'sham come put meat and milk on the same table, and you're going to come chas v'sham perhaps to meichel basa b'chol of deraisa. And therefore here, it's all kula chad gzeira, and therefore it could well be, says Abaye, that the entire iser basa oit b'chol of is only an iser derabonon, yet, since we can end up with Nisa Deraisa, that's why it's in the category of Chod Gzeira, and it's not a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Maskur Rav Sheshes, ask Rav Sheshes, how could ever come to be an Issa Deraisa? as we said at the beginning of our shir. Basar, the chol of the rice is only when it's cooked. Soif, soif, here we have cold milk and cold meat. Soif, soif, soinenhu. And when it's cold, it never could be a deraisa. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, Rav Sheshet's question is going back to Rav Yosef. You, Rav Yosef, hold that basar oif b'cholav is a deraisa. Fine. But even if basar oif b'cholav is deraisa, we need to understand why Chazal would tell us that you're not allowed to put basar oif b'cholav on the same table. It can never come to an issa deraisa. And the Rishonim explained that Rav Sheshet was addressing Rav Yosef because Yosef was a colleague of Rav Sheshet and Abaya was a Talmud of Rav Yosef. So it makes more sense, says Tosfos, that Rav Sheshet was addressing Rav Yosef than asking to Abaya. Says Abaya to defend Rav Yosef. We're concerned that there may be put hat on the table. That we kept hat on the table, and therefore we could come to a situation of Bishul. Ask the Gemara, even if it's hat, soif soif, cliche nihu, it was cooked in the pot, and it was taken from the pot and put into another plate. And that's a cliche ni. And we know the cliche ni ain't a mevashel. And even though, as we know from Hilchos Shabbos, point out the Rishonim, that klisheni doesn't have the ability to cook something in it, but it does have the ability to be maflit umavliya, to absorb and expel, say the Rishonim, that would not be considered bishul as far as basar b'cholav is concerned. Basar b'cholav, to be considered bishul, basar b'cholav, to be over the raisa, it has to be cooked together, not just be put in a place where there's bleis going. And that answer is also used to ask another question. Because there are paiskim that hold that even though we say kli sheni is not mevashel, but if there's a double gush, there's a solid in a kli sheni, it is mevashel. So the mefarshim ask, so maybe we're talking about a kli sheni, but it has a double gush. So the Ramah actually says that a kli sheni is never mevashel, not even a dover gush. But what about the poskim that hold that a kli sheni is mevashel dover gush? So then, how do we understand the Gemara? So they explain that even if a kli sheni has the ability to be mevashel, again, a kli sheni is mevashel, but that's not as far as Bishul Basar B'cholav is concerned. To be considered bishul for Basar B'cholav, it has to be a real bishul with liquid, and otherwise it's not considered bishul. Elogzera, yal shemiyal velfasvishim. We're concerned that it'll be kept in a pot, that the pot will be put on the table. The pot is a kli rishon, and we're going to have dairy, and we're going to have meat, and if they're put into each other, we have bishul deraisa. And because of that, Chazal said it shouldn't be put on the same table. From here, the Paiskim want to bring a raya that a kli rishon has the ability to be mevashel even when it's not on the fire. Because even if we're saying that the pot was brought to the table, but the pot here is not on the fire. So from here we see that a kli rishon is mevashel even when it's not on the fire, which is contrary to a Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi seems to say that a kli rishon is not mevashel. So I saw that the Pesach can make a very important point, which will keep on coming up in this perek, and that is that what's considered bishul for basar b'cholav may not necessarily be considered bishul for Shabbos. The rules don't travel necessarily together, and therefore it could be that for basar b'cholav, a kli rishon which is no longer on the fire is considered bishul, but not necessarily for Shabbos. We are actually machmer on Shabbos, but not medaraisa. Says the Mishnah, oif oilam gevina al shulchan. Poultry can be put with cheese on the same table, then in echel, dibur, beshem, you just can't eat them together. May they might be put on the same table, nor may they be eaten. Amr Rabbi Yosef says Rabbi Yosef, Zume Kuli Beisham Yuchum Beisil. We know that you normally Beisham is the Machmer, and Beisil is the Mekel. Here Beisil are the Machmirim, that they can't be put on the same table, and Beisham are Mekilim. However, says the Mishnah, Beisil Shulchan Amru, what table was discussed? Beshulchan Shoychalav. Strictly a table where we eat. There, Beisil says we can't put meat and dairy together. Abba Shulchan Shoychalav Atashul. If it's a table we're just preparing the food, not eating, nice and zevet tzadzev ein chayshish, they can be put on the same table. However, there are more paskins, that even though on a counter, the Mishnah is paskining, we could put meat and dairy together, the halacha says the Ramah is only if they're not uncovered. But if they're uncovered, and we have to be concerned of spillage of one to the other, it's asur. There's also interesting machloikis. What is the halacha if we have meat and dairy on the same table, but there's a shomer, there's somebody watching that nobody should come eat one, should eat them together? What will be the halacha? So there are achrayim that say that will be mutter. And they have a raya from the Torah, because we remember that Avram Avinu served the malachim meat and dairy. How was he allowed to? So the pasuk says, "Vuhu aimei aleihem." He watched them, and since he watched them, he was allowed to do it. But Rav Akiva Eiger, however, disagrees. Rav Akiva Eiger says, since our Mishnayis that teach us the halacha that you're not allowed to have meat and dairy together, and the Mishnayis never mention that if there's a shomer, if there's somebody watching, the halacha changes, says Rav Akiva Eiger, the halacha is that even with a shomer, you can't have meat and dairy on the same table. Ask the Gemara, Rav Yosef had a Tanna Kamma, the Mishnah began quoting the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammai said you can have meat and dairy on the same table. Beis Hillel said you can't. And Rabbi Yossi said that that's the Chumra of Beis Hillel and the Kula Beis Shammai. V'chi Teima. And if you want to say that Chila Gufik Benayu, the Machlokes between the Tanakama Rabbi Yossi is regarding eating. The Kama Tanakama, the Tanakama holds by law Kamifugi. The entire argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is if meat and dairy can, if poultry and dairy can be on the same table. Bechila, but everybody will agree, like Pligi, that they can't be eaten together. Vamalei Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi's opinion will be a chila gufa, that even regarding eating, Mekulei Beshamai, Beshamai will hold you can eat poultry with dairy. Umechumer Beshalo, says the Mar, that can't be. But Tanan, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Shishadvar, Mekulei Beshamai, Mechumer Beshalo. Rabbi Yossi mentions in Masechta Igyas, lists cases where Beshamai are Mekilim, and Beis Hillel are the Machmirim, v'zu achs mehen, and it says that oif oilem ashulch imagvil al ashulch veinem nechel. You can put poultry on the table with dairy veinem nechel, but you can't eat it together. Dairy Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel are loy oilem loy nechel. You can't eat it nor put it on the same table. But everybody agrees you can't eat it. Says the Gemara, or Kamashmua, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? The man Tanakama, who is the Tanakama of our Mishnah? Reb Yossi. To teach us that the opinion of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, to teach us Kol Oymer Dov B'Shem Omroi, and the reason it's so important to mention that is because we know that Allah is Kol Oymer Dov B'Shem Omroi, maybe Gula V'Oylam, he brings a Gula to the world. As we remember the story in the Megillah, where the time of Esther Melech B'Shem Mordechai, Esther reported in the name of Mordechai that Mordechai was the one that told her about the plot of Bigson and Seresh, which ultimately led to Achashverosh rewarding Mordechai and disgracing Haman, and we know the Yeshua of the Megillah. So ask the Mefarshim, if the point of our Mishnah is to teach us that Rabbi Yossi is the Tan of our Mishnah, the Mishnah should be gone right away, Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Mefarshim explained, had the Mishnah begun with the words Amar Rabbi Yossi, we would think that our Mishnah only represents Rabbi Yossi's opinion and not everybody agrees with him. That's why the Mishnah began anonymously, that it should be understood as a Stam Mishnah, and because it's understood as a Stam Mishnah, that's why we paskin this way, and only afterwards, because of Kol Oymer Dov B'Shem Omroi, do we want to say that it's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Regarding this halacha of Kol Oymer Dov B'Shem Omroi, maybe Gula L'Olam, so I saw La Halacha. What is the halacha if I hear an opinion from someone, and I agree with that opinion, But I also have my own explanation of that opinion. When I quote that opinion, must I say who I heard the original opinion from? The person can say, I should say, I heard this opinion from this and this person. And then I can add, I agreed for this and this reason. And even if my entire speech is really, my entire is mine, it's only in one little point that I heard from someone else, I still have to mention who I heard what I heard from. What is the halacha, discussed the Paiskim? If the person who said whatever he said, and I'm quoting, doesn't care and doesn't mind if I don't quote him, do I have to still mention his name? The Paiskim say that even if it won't fall into the category of Geneva, but still, it's certainly in the category that we discussed in our sect of Geneva Stas, and I should mention that I heard this from someone else, even if that person is Michael. Furthermore, the Cheltes Yaakov Paskins, that this halacha doesn't only apply when I'm quoting a halacha, but even when I'm saying Divrei Agada, the halacha remains that Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi, I have to quote from whom I heard it. However, he does say that certainly the right thing to do is to mention the name of the person who you heard it, but if you don't remember the name, if you say as long as you say you heard it from Chazal, or you say you heard it from someone, from Achroinim, from Rishonim, without quoting the exact name, it's also in the category of Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi. The Mefarshim discuss that the Raya that we learn of Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi, and maybe Gula Olam, is the episode with Mordechai and Esther. So the Imri Emes explains that what is so great about that Esther said that what she heard from Mordechai, is it only the right thing to do? So I saw Tupshot. The Imri Emes says that the truth is that Esther was a Neviah. And Esther knew about what was happening bits from the Seresh, even without Mordechai informing her. But Esther still, because she heard it from Mordechai, when she repeated it to Achashverosh, was careful to say that she heard it from Mordechai, which ultimately brought the Gula. Another pshat that I saw from the Yair of Tavash is that Mordechai's intention really was not to save Achashverosh. His real intention was that he knew that Bixen the Seresh wanted to kill the king and the queen, Achashverosh and Esther. And his goal was to save Esther. And not only was his goal to save Esther, he told Esther, don't even repeat to Achashverosh what you heard from me. That's why, Esther did tell Achashverosh, but Achashverosh, that's why, couldn't reward Mordechai immediately, because Esther told him not to say anything in his name. And that's what ultimately led to the Gula that came later. So Mefarshim asks, Mefarshim can make one more point. What is the Gemara trying to say? Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi, maybe Gula Olam, from the story of Mordechai Esther. So Mefarshim make the point. Here, who did Mordechai save? He saved Achashverosh. Achashverosh, we know, was a horrible Russia. He wanted to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. Yet, look what great things happened to him. Certainly, Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi, somebody says it's V'Torah, which Torah is the basis for our life, Kem Chayenu V'Oirech Yameinu, may be Gula Olam. But then the Mefarshim, of course, ask that unfortunately we know that we, particularly we who learn, every day we say over, we learn the Gemara, and the Gemara quotes the name of the Tanoim and the Meroim. And we're constantly saying those names of those Tanoim and Amoroim and Rishonim and Achroinim. And yet, unfortunately, the Gula has not come to the world. Why not? So I saw a number of pshatim. And one pshat is that Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi, maybe Gula Olam, he's building a step towards the Gula coming. We don't know what step. Every little V'Torah that we say over in the name of somebody is one step closer to the Gula. Another pshat that I saw, Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi, maybe Gula Olam, is that many times there are people that plot, and there are nations that plot against Klal Yisrael. We don't even know about their plans. But by saying Dov B'Shem Omroi, we are protected and we bring a Gula L'Olam. But then I saw a pshat from the Chasam Sofer, the Kol Omer Dov B'Shem Omroi is maybe Gula Olam is not a Gula, not talking about Mashiach, The gula means his own private gula. Every person has his own private gula by saying a davar b'shem amro. By saying a davar b'shem amro. Another pshat that I saw from the Majid to Rebbe is kol ayim a davar b'shem amro. Nevi gula la'olam. He brings kol ayim a davar b'shem amro. Every time somebody learns a piece of Torah, and he recognizes b'shem amro, whose Torah is he learning? He's learning the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's learning the Torah of Hashem Yisbaruch Hu, who gave us the Torah Shem Ksav and Torah Shem HaPeh, maybe Gula Olam. Learning and realizing that we are learning the Dvar Hashem is what brings a Gula L'Olam. Tana Agra Chamud Reb Abba. Oif Ugvir Nechalim B'Kippurim. Poultry and cheese to be eaten without taking, without any precautions. A Bikur means like Hefker. Hu Tana Lav Hu Amalav. Learn the Torah Shadayim like Kinuch HaPeh. Now, what he says is that between milk and meat, you have to wash your hands and wipe your mouth. He says that this doesn't apply between poultry and dairy. Some explain that he was saying whether you ate the poultry first and then the dairy. Others say it's only if you ate the dairy and then the poultry. Says the Gemara of Yitzchak Berei the Mishashi Ikwavei Ravashi. Isley Gvina Ochal. They brought him dairy and he ate it. Isley Bisra. Then they brought him meat. Ochal Vlay Mashi Yodei. He ate it without washing his hands in between. Amalei. Vatana Agra Chamudu Rev Ava. Oifu Gvina Nechon B'Kippurim. You can only eat poultry and dairy that way. Oifu Gvina In. Basa Gvina Loi. Meat and dairy may not be eaten without washing hands and rinsing the mouth in between. Amalei, to which he responded, Hani Mili Belayla. That's by night when I can't see if my hands have some residue. Ava b'yimama, by day ha-chazina, I see and no washing is necessary. Here, however, and the poskim say that the same is by night if it's in a place that's well illuminated and you could see that your hands aren't dirty. You don't have to wash them. However, the poskim do say that under all circumstances, even when you don't have to wait because you're eating dairy and then poultry, or maybe even dairy and then meat, you should wash your hands even by day and even in a well-illuminated place because you don't know that there may be some grease left on your hands that you don't even recognize.